We're doing in Yaakov. We're up to page Kuf Dalet Amud Aleph in the pages of Gemara Shabbos. We had discussed the allusions the letters make to different traits. Aleph Beit, learn wisdom. Gimel Dalet, be kind to the poor, etc. And we had discussed how the Aleph Beis represents numbers. We all know Aleph is 1, Beis is 2, Gimel is 3, up to Tes is 9, and then Yud becomes 10. We know that. Tzadi becomes 90. Kuf becomes 100. Resh becomes 200. Shin becomes 300. Tav becomes 400. The end Chaf becomes 500. The end Mem becomes 600. The end Nun becomes 700. The end Pei becomes 800. The end Tzadi becomes 900. And we come full circle to Aleph, which stands for Aleph, which is the 1,000, right? So the Hebrew alphabet has numerical correspondences up to the number 1,000, okay? Aleph can be 1, Aleph can be Aleph, 1,000. The Gemara had been discussing the numerical value, and then the allusions, and now the Gemara went on to discuss the double letters. And we said the double letters, now we just discussed this idea of their numerical value, and we have the idea of the double letters representing each exile. We discussed that Medrash and Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer. Now the Gemara was discussing, why do we have what's called Mem Ptucha, Mem Stuma. We have a Mem that's closed, a Mem that's open, because some things are closed in Judaism. You can't tell everyone their secrets. Some things are open. Nun that's bent and a Nun that's straight, because you have a person who is kosher and he's bent over, he's humble. And you have a person who is kosher and he could stand tall, because at the end of time, in Olam Haba, he will be able to stand straight. Samech Ayin, so we heard one interpretation means Smoch Aniyim. The letters are telling you give support to the poor. The other interpretation is Simanim Asei, make yourself signs so you can memorize the Torah. Pei that's bent, pei that's open, that's straight, that's the when there aren't people out there teaching, so you be open with your pe, teach a lot of Torah freely. When there are a lot of people teaching, so your teaching is not being valued, close your mouth. Don't cheapen the Torah. Tzadi that's bent, tzadi that's straight, that's because you have a tzadik that's bent over in humility, then you have a tzadik that in the world to come can finally stand straight. And that's where we left off last week, where the Gemara asks, you said that already. You said that that's what the nun represents. The bent nun means sometimes a person can be a tzaddik and be bent, and sometimes he's going to be able to stand straight and tall. Yeah, it's a good question. Whether dal and ani is the same, and gomel and somech is the same, right? So the Gemara says, osif lecha kfifa al kefifato. The pasuk told you that sometimes a person is doubly bent. That's why we have the same concept twice. Mikan shenitna Torah bimnod rosh. Here you see that Torah was given with a person being totally bent over in fear, as Hashem appears to give him the Torah. And corresponding to this, we have the idea that our custom is, it says in the Ramah, our custom is to shake as we learn and to shake as we daven. This goes back to the time the Torah was given, where people bent over in humility when Hashem appeared. Kuf, what does the letter Kuf stand for? That teaches us the idea of Kadosh. Reish stands for Rasha. Wait a second. Why is the Kuf turning away from the Reish? The truth is the Reish is turning away from the Kuf. But they didn't want to say that Hashem is that the Reish turns his back on Hashem. Kuf represents Hashem, Kadosh Baruch Hu. Reish represents the Rasha. So Chazal worded it as, why is the Kuf turning from the Reish? Really, it's the Reish turning from the Kuf. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, en ani achol listakel ba Rasha. I don't want to look him in the face. When a person is wicked, we try not to look them in the eye, not to look them in the face. Why is it that the kuf has a little line, a crown on top that heads towards the reish? It's as though Hashem saying, I'm sticking out my hand. If he's going to turn back to me, I'll tie a crown on his head just like me. On the one hand, I don't want to look at him so long as he's wicked. On the other hand, I'm waiting for him to return. If he'll only turn back, Hashem says, I'm waiting to throw a crown on his head. The Gemara says, why is it that the leg of the kuf is hanging, right? The leg of the kuf doesn't hit the ceiling. You have a kuf, and then you have a leg, right? So if this is our shape of the kuf, so the leg of the kuf is hanging down. It's not attached to the top. Why? Says the Gemara, it's as though Hashem saying, I'm not closing the door. If the guy wants to do tshuva, the reish that stands for the rasha, if he wants to come back, I'm leaving the door open for him. That's what the kuf not hitting the ceiling represents, that idea.
Doesn't that make sense that the reish, why wouldn't they say the reish is turning away from Hashem, the rasha?
Right.
I don't begin to understand what to do with this.
Right.
We'll learn. Like,
so Chazal used the letters to teach us concepts. This supports Reish Lakish. The verse in Proverbs says, when a person wants to be a joker, so Hashem treats him in kind. When a person wants to be humble, so Hashem gives him charm. If a person says, I want to defile my life, so the way Hashem created the world, the answer is the door is open. No one's going to stop you. You want to go destroy your life? You can. It's available. Bali taher. But if a person says, I want to do what's right, so then misayin oto. So then from heaven they say, let us help you out. Meaning there is a special siyata d'shmaya. If a person wants to go on the right path, so then there are areas where he'll suddenly see, hey, that went super easy. That worked out right for me. A person wants to destroy their life, they won't stop him, but they won't push him down the pit. It's not like he won't have to fend for his own. Okay. Shin Sheker. Taf is the last letter of Emet. My time Sheker Mekarvin Mile, Emet Merachkin Mile. How come when you look at the Shin? So then you see that the letters, the legs of the shin, are close to one another. and the letters of the taf are far from one another. You take the word sheker, shin, kuf, resh. Those are letters that are close to one another. Shin, kuf, resh, right? Kuf, resh, shin are three letters that are adjacent. So when you take the word sheker, so the letters are very close to one another. You take the word emet, you have to span the whole alphabet. Aleph is the beginning, mem is the middle, tuf is the end. How come, says the Gemara, emet spans the alphabet? You have to really search far in the alphabet in order to spell emet. And when you try to spell sheker, you have three letters that are right next to one another. Answers the Gemara, shikra shchiach. Lies are common. That's why the letters of sheker are close to one another, to tell you, yeah, it's pretty common to find a lie. But kushta lo shchiach, truth is hard to find. Whenever you hear a story, don't be quick to believe it. It's very common. People are going to embellish, tell it a little bit better, tell it a little bit different, add a detail, leave out a detail. So shin stands for sheker, and sheker is spelled of letters that are very close to one another. Teaches us how close lies, how common it is that lies abound. How come the shin comes down to a point? It stands on one leg. The shin, when you spell, you write a shin, so it's like a V with a line in the middle. So it has one little point it stands on. You write the kuf of sheker. And it also, the two legs aren't equal. It's standing on one point, right? Let's draw this. Find my keys. Be right back.
was it?
Okay. Do we start them in this classroom?
You got.
Only one Sparta here?
Jake, raise your hand.
You're going to be a Sparta. Okay. That's what they all say. Okay. So, Shin is like this. Got a little point on the bottom. Kuf is like this. Also stands on one point. Reish is like this. Stands on one point. Now, what's the problem? The Sparta will tell you that's not what a Shin looks like. Shin looks like that.
Stands on
oh, so it still has only one leg. Still standing on one leg. But because the Sephardim live in a predominantly Ashkenazi culture, even though in Israel the Sephardim outnumber the Ashkenazim, so today the Sephardim write their shins different. In ancient times, this is how Sephardim wrote their shins. In modern times, Sephardim have become Ashkenized. So you'll see in Sifrei Torah, it's written like this. But today, they want to answer the Ashkenazim who will attack them based on this Gemara. So the Sephardim write their shins like this. They write a little slant. So it's also standing on a point. So they have the bottom leg does this. Look at a Sephardi tefillin. You'll see on the sides of the Shorosh. They have a leg. It used to be straight. Today it's not. It does this.
Why is that?
Because they want to fulfill the Ashkenazi interpretation that the Gemara here says that the shin is standing on a point, on one leg. So you could argue that this is also one leg. Emet, you have two legs to each letter that come to the same place. Aleph, Mem, Tav. Okay? So you have two legs that all come to the same point. The shin, each one, has only one point. So, even if this is the shin, it also has one point, as opposed to the mem, right? The mem is considered having two legs. So if this is called the leg, then this could be called the leg. Forgive me for protecting the Sephardim. But,
where did they have been hung up from?
Sephardim? We all have a good source for Minagim. I'm just saying, the what? I didn't hear. Yeah, it's a good question. Why do Sephardim wear Ashkenazi garb?
No, I was explained to me once where it was political, like, from Europe, they have better education, something like that, and they took over, but then the Ashkenazi, the Sephardic, like, the big
battle. It's a good question for a Thursday night. It's a good question. It's a good question. Thursday night, remind me, we'll get back to it. So,
is this week a long week?
I have not discussed it with Rav Listman yet, I don't know.
Their Torahs are written.
Because the Israelis want a class this week too, so I'm not sure what to do with that. I don't know. We'll see. We have slight differences, slight variations in how we write the letters Ashkenazim and Sephardim. Yeah, Tefillin, Sifrei Torah. Yeah. So coming back to our Gemara, why do the letters of Sheker all stand on one leg? Vemet Malban Labone. And Emet sounds seems to stand firm. The letters are all like a brick. They're all square.
Right? Malben Labone. So the letters of Emet, you could draw a square around them. Right? You can draw a square around it. You can draw a square around it. Sheker doesn't work that way. You look at your Sheker, and it's not. You know, this extends to here, this extends to there, this extends down here. Here you don't have a complete. By Emet, every letter almost touches the four corners of a square, right? Every letter. By Sheker, you don't have that.
So, why, says the Gemara, is that the form of Emet and Sheker? Kushtakai, even though truth is hard to come by, but once you get it, it lasts. Shikra lokai, lies, they pass from the world. They don't last. At some point, the game is up. So, the Gemara continues. At bash. So what is at bash? In Hebrew,
We also have a form of gematria where we connect each letter with the end letter of the alphabet. So if the end of the alphabet is Kufrei Shin Taf, so we connect the Aleph to the Taf, At, the Beis to the Shin, Bash, the Gimel to the Resh, Gag, the Dalet to the Kuf, Dak. And we, this is a code with which we can find different things in the Torah. The letters can be interchangeable this way. In the middle, what are the middle letters? Yam, Kol. So the Yod is interchanged with the... And if you use this code, you can see all kinds of interesting things in the Torah. So this is a code that wasn't invented now with computers, but rather the Gemara discusses it. We have in Tanakh that the king of Babylon is called Sheshach. So you guys tell me, what does Sheshach spell in Atbat? Sheshach. Okay, so the Shin becomes a base. And the second Shin becomes a base. And we said Kaf and Lamed are interchangeable, so that becomes a Lamed. So Sheshach. So in Tanakh, you have places where the king of Babel is called Sheshach. And our sages say that's Atbash. There are many codes for how to read Tanakh. This is one of them. So the Gemara says, At Bash Oti Tiev Etave Lo Aleph. It represents one. Right? Hashem is one. Hashem says, I always try to find something good, even in the wicked. When a person goes off the deep end in his wickedness, so then Hashem says, I'm done with him. Oti, Tiev, a person who is completely disgusted with me, says Hashem, and he denies me, so then, Etavelo, am I supposed to desire him? At, that's Aleph Tav. At, Oti Tiev Etavelo. Bash, says the Gemara, Bi Lo Chashak. Shmi Yachul Alav. If he doesn't want me, is my name supposed to go on him? Don't ask me why. In the codes of Torah, so different codes represent different things. For example, wherever you find the Hebrew alphabet written backwards, where do we find that?
Hebrew alphabet written backwards?
Right.
You have in the davening.
Right, where in davening? Wherever you find the Hebrew alphabet written backwards, it represents the oral law. Whenever it's written forward, it represents the written law. So there are codes. For the Atbash, for whatever reason, seems... Tikanta Shabbat, right? The Musaf davening of Shabbat goes in the order of the Hebrew alphabet backwards. Tikanta, Taf, Shabbat, Shin, Ratzita, Reish, Korbanoteh, Kuf. Yeah. Okay. Sivita, Perusha, right? Tzadi, Pe. It works backwards. In Atbash, for whatever reason, our sages said that the letters Atbash represent Hashem's relationship with a person who's gone off the deep end. Someone who's completely denied Judaism and gone against Hashem. Hashem says that, you can see how I feel about him in Atbash. I don't know why.
Is it that I guess the Aleph is not facing the Tav?
It could be that he's... I could say things, but I don't... I'm not sure if there's any truth to what I'm going to tell you, but Binny wants to hear it, so I'll mention it, but I don't know if it's true. One interpretation might be that Atbash sounds like a funny, childish, backwards way to work with the alphabet. Meaning,
You're saying the Aleph, that's the first letter, should be switched with the Tav, that's the last letter. And then you just move on in that pattern. So it could be that Chazal said, within that is a representation of how people can misconstrue their approach to the world. It's like a person that his father gives him something to eat, and after he finishes eating it, he says, has anyone seen my father? His father says, what do you mean? Who just fed you that food? I don't know, whatever. So it could be that the Atbash represents a backwards way of thinking. When you take the last letter and replace the first letter with the last letter, maybe Chazal said, within that format of a code, there's a representation of a person who can really take the world backwards. Meaning, we speak about levels in Emunah, and one of the levels is what we call Emunah Pshuta. Emunah Pshuta doesn't mean simple faith. Emunah Pshuta means something that works with a person on a very basic, elementary level, a non-complicated level. So I gave the example here once that we were discussing in the laws of Shabbos that why is it prohibited to leave a radio on going into Shabbos or a television on going into Shabbos? And as we were discussing which under which heading does it go that you're not allowed to do that, one of the people from the crowd said, it's not Shabbos. On Shabbos, you can't have a television playing. It's not Shabbos. Like, you don't do that. So that's, I said, you're right. You won. That's the right answer. The technical reasons why it's prohibited is good for a Talmud class. But the simple answer is really the right answer.
What is that called? It's called
Kol Malacha?
What's the word for that?
So the same is true. I had if you guys have patience, it's worth talking to bus drivers and taxi drivers. You sometimes get to hear a lot of world's wisdom. So a bus driver, a taxi driver once told me, he said, you got to look at the world very simply. Remember, God created the world and he put you here. And when he put you here, he said, you can get a lot of goodies. But you should know, it's like you have temptations as you go. So here you have something pretty pulling you off the path, and here you have something pretty pulling you off the path. Meaning it's not a simple straight path. You just walk down that path and you get to the pot of gold. Won't work that way. Life is about, can I look at the temptation and say, that's not right for me, I'm going for what's right for me. And if you can remember that, then you'll get to what's right for you. Because life is filled with temptations. It's a Hashem says, I'm not going to give it to you for free. Yeah, you're going to have to overcome your temptations and just get there. And that was his speech. And you know what? It's been years. I don't remember who said it to me. But that simple mashal stuck with me. You're walking down a path, there will be temptations. Pretty temptations. Enticing temptations. But that's because otherwise you didn't earn anything. So just remember that and don't go for the temptations. Simple mashal. There's a concept of emunah pshuta. You ask a person, we try to teach our kids that God is a part of life. So our 2.5-year-old had a dirty diaper. So my wife asked him, is your diaper full? So he said, I don't know. He didn't feel like having a diaper change. So my wife said, oh boy, your diaper is full. Who filled it? We're trying to toilet train him. So he looked at her and he says, maybe Hashem did. Now, I was very happy with that answer. Because that means that in his mind, Hashem is a reality. Meaning, when the kids are talking, who's the strongest in this house? So one kid will say, I'm the strongest. And another kid will say, no, Abba's stronger than you. And another kid will say, no, Hashem's stronger than Abba. So that means Hashem exists in their concepts. Now, that it's a very simple concept of Hashem, but does that make it wrong? Does the idea that kids can say, well, you didn't create yourself, and Abba didn't create himself, and Hashem created the world in 6 days, because it's simple, that doesn't mean it's wrong. Sometimes it's simple and true. We want more sophistication, and that's a totally different level. The Atbash might be dealing with a person that's not willing to connect even on the most simple level. And so it says, you want to take everything and twist it? You want to take everything and say, so that it could be that's why Atbash represents that. There are other reasons why it might represent it, but we've gone off on too much of a tangent. Be'ash bilo chashak shmiach ulanav, Hashem says, and we also have to wonder why it's in question form. The Hasidim like to say that everything that's in question form, it's telling you sometimes yes and sometimes no. This is a concept we find in Talmud. The Talmud says, V'italam tamihim, if you see your friend's lost object, are you going to ignore it? You're going to ignore it? You read it in a question mark? Or sages say, why does the Pasuk word it that way? To tell you sometimes ignore it. Sometimes the right answer is ignore it. Yeah? The Pasuk worded it as a question mark. So the Hasidim would say that this Gemara has to be read that way too. Oti tiev. He's disgusted with me. Hashem says, Etavelo, am I going to desire him? I'm going to desire him? So the Hasidim say, yeah, read it the other way. Oti tiev. He's disgusted with me. Etavelo, I desire him. I'm waiting for him to come back. So there's the dual meaning. Bet shin is bilo chashak. He doesn't want me. Shmi achul alav. Will my name be on him? Can be read both ways. Gimel Reish, Gufot Timei, Arachem Alav, he's defiled his body, should I have mercy over him? So that's another important concept. We're responsible for keeping our minds pure and our bodies pure. What we do with our bodies also matters. A person can't just say, what's your business? Not true. Torah tells us, keep your body pure as well, not only your mind. Dalit Kuf, Dal Totai Na'al, he's locked my doors. He tries to keep other people away from learning. I'm not going to uproot him. Ad kan midat rishayim. Till here we have a description of the wicked. Av midat tzadikim. How should a righteous person behave? At bash. Im ata bosh. If you'll have some embarrassment, that's what will help you become a righteous person. Meaning, shame is a very wonderful thing in our life. It shocked me. I remember as a teenager, Newsweek had a picture of a billboard. And the billboard said, virgin, it's not a dirty word. So I was the generation where teenagers started thinking they shouldn't end high school being a virgin. And so someone thought that in their society, they have to reinstitute this idea that it's a good thing. To hold on to one's virginity. But I remember looking at that and thinking, I never said the word virgin. Of course it's a dirty word. What does that mean, virgin? It's not a dirty word. There are words that never crossed my lips. Shame is a good thing. It keeps us in line. We should be embarrassed to say certain things. The fact that the world feels so open to say all kinds of words. No. Imatabosh. One of the tools to keeping ourselves in line is to hold on to that shame, to be embarrassed to say certain words. Gimel Reish Dalit Kuf, Imatal Seken, Gul Bidok. Hashem says, you want to live next to me? Dok is the thin part of heaven. Hashem says, you hold on to your shame, that's the way to get there.
What was that? It's the thin part of heaven?
Yes. Dok Hashemaim. It's a pasuk in Tanakh. Hey Tzadi Vav Pei. Chatzitza Havi Benecha Levenaf. You create a shield between you and anger. Zain ein chet samach tet nun enatam izdazem in asatan. You won't have to be scared from Satan. And finally, yamachal amar sam shegenom pnei hakadosh baruch hu ibono shel olam layam kol. Perdition is also called yam, the great sea of hell. That's also called yam. And so the angel Satan says, everyone's coming to my sea. Satan tries to make it like everyone deserves to get there, and we try to get out, but his goal is to get everyone in. And so about that Hashem says, and now we go on to a whole new series of alphabet. The Talmud is teaching us a whole new type of alphabet we'll get to in 1 second. So what did we just learn? We learned the idea of how a shin is spelled, Sfardi and Ashkenazi. We learned the idea that sheker is rampant. In other words, don't be so quick to believe people. People do lie. People do embellish. People do stretch the truth. Truth is hard to find. You find someone truthful, value it. It's not easy to find someone truthful. Why is it that sheker stands on one leg? Because when we say lies, we should know they won't last. Very often people think the way to hold on to something is by lying. Usually that's not so. And very often, if you invest a little bit of thought you can accomplish the same thing without lying. Very often we use the lie as a way of escape or protecting ourselves or impressing others, and it's not worth it. It doesn't last. That's what the one leg teaches us. Why is a mit built so firmly? To tell you, you tell the truth and it lasts. And then we went into the atbash, the idea that Hashem says, don't think that I'm just loving, giving, and willing to put up with everything. There comes a point where I say, you're disgusted with me, why would I want you? You're not interested in me, why should my name go on you? A person defiles themselves, why should Hashem have mercy on them? And then Hashem says, but if a person wants to hold on to connection with me, one of the tools is shame. A person should be embarrassed. It's important to be embarrassed. For the right things, right. And then Hashem says, believe me, that's how you get close to me. And you'll have protection from when moments of anger hit the world. And you won't be scared of Satan, even though Satan claims everyone should come to his seat. And with that, we're up to the new form of alphabet, which the Gemara is going to discuss. That we're going to get to. I think we're out of time.
Can we at least hear what it's called?
The new alphabet is called Achas Batagi.
Achas Batagi. And it goes like this. Aleph Beis Gimel Dalet Vav Zayin Chet Tet Yud Chaf Lamed Mem Nun Samach. You skip seven letters each time.
Seven?
Two, four, six. It's enough. We'll get there.
Also talk about the eight letter dial.